This past Monday, on February 2nd, we celebrated World Day for Consecrated Life during this special year of consecrated life. February 2nd is the perfect day to celebrate consecrated religious life because February the 2nd is the 40th day of Christmas. And on the 40th day after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph present baby Jesus in the temple, consecrating him totally to God. In addition, Mary and Joseph's presentation of the Lord represent the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Mary and Joseph are obedient to the law, for Jewish law required them to consecrate their firstborn son to God. They make the offering of the poor, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And Mary and Joseph are both virgins, pure, chaste, immaculate. Today, this second Sunday of February, we're celebrating World Marriage Sunday. This Sunday, we honor men and women who have entered into a free, total, faithful, and fruitful covenant in the sacrament of holy matrimony. This Sunday, we honor those men and women who are faithful to each other until death and are open to the gift of many children. So within a week, we have a very interesting juxtaposition. On the February the 2nd, we celebrated World Day for Consecrated Life. And today, we celebrate World Marriage Day. This juxtaposition is not by accident. Do you know where in the Catechism of the Catholic Church you can find the section on consecrated virginity? It'll surprise you. It's in the chapter on the sacrament of matrimony. It always takes me by surprise. I'm reading along in my catechism about the glories and the joys of marriage, and then right there in paragraphs 1618, 1619, and 1620 is a whole section on consecrated virginity. And the catechism explains why in paragraph 1620. It says, "Esteem of virginity for the sake of the kingdom and the Christian understanding of marriage are inseparable." Inseparable. Like bacon and eggs, peanut butter and jelly, cup and saucer, hand and glove. You can't separate consecrated religious life and marriage. Because I've heard people say, "Gosh, Father, you've been talking a lot lately about consecrated religious life. What about marriage? You haven't been talking about marriage." But I have. Because when I talk about consecrated religious life, I'm talking about marriage. I didn't make that up. It's in the catechism in that paragraph, 1620, that same section quotes St. John Chrysostom, who way back in the 400s said, "Whoever denigrates marriage also diminishes the glory of virginity, and whoever praises marriage makes virginity more admirable and resplendent." Think about it. The world laughs at virgins, monks and brothers and nuns and sisters. They laugh at somebody who would make a vow of virginity, a vow of obedience, a vow of poverty. And when we laugh at them, we are really laughing at marriage. And the world laughs at an exclusive relationship between only one man and one woman that is free, total, faithful, and fruitful. And when we laugh at marriage and make fun of marriage and denigrate marriage, we also denigrate consecrated religious life. Notice in our modern world how we've seen a decline in the numbers that have joined convents and monasteries. A decline in consecrated religious, and notice the rise in divorce, adultery, living together before you're married, not getting married at all. It's true, isn't it? If we praise marriage, then we also praise and uplift consecrated religious life. So during this special year of consecrated life designated by Pope Francis, what can we do to increase vocations to monks and brothers and nuns and sisters and vowed religious priests? The Catechism has a shocking answer. All you have to do is strengthen married life. That's the solution. Because if you strengthen married life, the Catechism says, you'll strengthen consecrated religious life. This is why this weekend on World Married Sunday, yesterday, we here at St. Felix Parish, we hosted a pre-marriage retreat for 28 engaged couples here in southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and northern Iowa. We want holy, happy, healthy marriages who build their love on the rock-solid foundation of the love of Jesus. We want strong marriages, couples who attend Mass every single Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation, who go to confession regularly, who pray together as spouses and as a family, who pray together individually, who give generously, not just of their financial resources, of course that's important, but that sacrifice their time in service to others. We want husbands and wives who live their faith. I'm so grateful for my dear parents. They taught me what it means to be faithful to your vows for almost 47 years now. They taught me what it's like to be life-giving. They taught me what it was like to be generous and sacrificing. We had to sacrifice a lot growing up. They taught me what it was like to be involved at the parish and the school. We practically lived at the school and the church. They taught me all about sacrifice. So that one day, I was able to sacrifice my life for my beloved bride, the church, as a priest. Do you know my good friends, Blessed Louis and Zélie Martin? They had five daughters that survived infancy, and all five of those daughters became nuns. All five became consecrated religious sisters. Do you know who their most famous one of their five daughters is? My good friend Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. How could those five girls consecrate themselves in vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience? Because they saw their parents live faithfully their vows. If you want a story to remember from today's sermon, a great picture to have in your head, it's this one. On a September morning in the year 1884, a very poor young priest by the name of Giuseppe Sarto goes in to see his bishop, who surprises him by giving him a papal bull, making him the bishop of Mantua in northern Italy. Giuseppe Sarto was the second oldest of 10 children of Giovanni and Margherita Sarto. And when Margherita Sarto saw the amethyst bishop's ring on her son Giuseppe Sarto's finger, she said, "My son, you would not have that ring unless I had this ring." She pointed to her wedding ring. "You wouldn't have that ring unless I had this ring." Do you know who Giuseppe Sarto was? Bishop Giuseppe Sarto, who in 1903 went on to become another one of my good friends, Pope St. Pius X. "You wouldn't have that ring, my son, unless I had this ring." Nor would we have the sacrament of marriage without the bishop's ring, for it is the bishop who gives permission for all priests and deacons to perform valid marriages in his diocese. Isn't it bishops, priests, and deacons who bless your wedding ring in the sight of God? Indeed, esteem of virginity for the sake of the kingdom and the Christian understanding of marriage are inseparable. One of the readings a couple can pick for their wedding day is a reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to, I think it's verse 6. And there's an important verse in verse 4. Hebrews 13, 4 says, "Let marriage be honored among all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers." Let marriage be honored among all. Let's use that as a hashtag. Put that on your screensavers. Let marriage be honored among everyone. And when a free, total, faithful, and fruitful marriage between one man and one woman is honored by everyone, then in the Lord's divine providence, consecrated religious life is honored by everyone. And both produce abundant fruit for the greater honor and glory of Almighty God.